Father, we surely do thank you for being with us this morning. We thank you, Father, that you've come down to sup with us this day. We can't honor you enough, Father. We can't thank you enough. I'm asking you, God, to keep moving upon your people as we go forth with the teaching. I'm asking, God, that you meet each and every need. Change the hearts. Change the mindsets, Father. And bless the teaching, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I was talking last night about the battle belongs to the Lord, and I want to do some more of that this morning. And we'll be talking a little bit about Jehoshaphat, but there's other stuff I want to bring out. Do you know how much I love you? Do you know how much I suffered and died for you? Do you understand what I did? It's all because of love. I'm asking each one of you to love like I loved you the day I hung on that cross. I'm asking each one of you to turn from your hate and your bitterness and your strife. I'm asking you to just love like I loved. Love brings perfect unity. Love steals anger. Love, it is my love that I have spread out upon this land. My love is going to come like a great whirlwind. And this love is going to save the lost and dying souls. And I want you to use each one of you as a vessel of love and honor. To spread my love to the lost and the dying, the hurting, the rejected ones. It is love, my children. It is true agape love. Receive the residue of that love even right now. Receive a portion of what I have for you in this love walk. You cannot deal with the whole entire drop at one time, so I will place it upon you little by little. It is love that prevails, I promise you. Love always prevails. We all face trials and battles in life, perhaps in our job, our family life, battles against temptations, against thoughts of worry and depression, battles for mental or physical health, as well as spiritual battles for another person or to move forward spiritually ourselves. Whatever fight we face, the Bible reveals the key strategy to experience a victory. Jehoshaphat shows us God's way to victory in 2 Chronicles 21 through 20. And I'm not going to read that. It's 1 through 30. Can't see. 1 through 30, we read that last night. Number one, admit your weakness and limitations. 2 Chronicles 20:12 says, O our God, will you not judge them, the enemy? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. It says, admit your weaknesses and limitations. And Jehoshaphat said, we have no power against this great multitude. And that's just like God just told us to love. You know, if you can't love, just say, God, I just can't love. And ask him to spread his love through you. In the face of the problem, don't be macho, but be humble and turn to God for his help. Look to the all-wise and all-powerful one. Jehoshaphat knew they were no match for the enemy, so he turned to God in prayer. When you have problems, how do you respond? Do you look to self or turn to God for help? You can either fight your battles your way in your own strength or turn to God and fight it his way. All right, you have to trust in his power. In James 4:6, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And in Ephesians 6:12, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. All right, so point number two, realize the battle belongs to the Lord. 2 Chronicles 20:15 says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel, and he said, listen, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. The opposition for the battle is not yours, but God's. Then Psalm 24:8 said, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. The Lord is a mighty warrior in battle, and he is with you always. When you turn it over to him and trust him and fight it his way, it's no longer your battle, but his battle. It is his battle and his victory. David used the same phrase for his fight with Goliath at 1 Samuel 17:47. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Now you see that I'm coming at this way. Last night, God was going to fight our battles. But here, David had to go out and literally fight this battle. But he knew the battle was the Lord's, and he knew the Lord was going to win the battle for him. But he literally went out on the battlefield. It wasn't like Jehoshaphat, and he literally had to kill somebody. All right? The battle belongs to the Lord. Goliath was much bigger than David, but David's faith was in the God who is greater than all. David showed his faith by declaring the victory in advance, and giving God the praise for it. Then he attacked the problem rather than waiting for it in fear. As we go against our Goliath, we must declare that our faith is not in ourselves, but in God. First of all, David knew that God was going to be with him. And then after he knew he was going to be with him, then he went out to battle. A lot of us, we battle our problems, not even placing God in this situation. We just battle. And that's why we lose our battles all the time. I want you to see where it says say. See that say up there? Now I want you to say that, all right? The battle belongs to the Lord. I submit to you, Lord Jesus, as my commander in chief, and I will follow your instructions. Yours is the victory. Now, when you say you're going to follow his instructions, as he tells you how to go do your battle, then you do exactly what he says. Remember, that's what Jehoshaphat did. In praise, we magnify the name of the Lord, lifting up his authority over the battle. It is declaring that the battle belongs to the Lord. When Jehoshaphat did this, God gave him his instruction and strategy to defeat the enemy. All right, number three, position yourself in Christ's victory. A lot of us position ourselves as already failures before we ever go into the battle. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. And that was in 2 Chronicles 20:17. So you take your stand on the finished work of Christ and already see yourselves victorious through Christ. I am more than a conqueror through Christ. I am an overcomer, for greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Thanks be to God who gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. See, you have to confess that, or you're going to lose all your battles. I don't care what it is that you're fighting through, you have to confess that you are the victorious one. You have to confess that Satan is defeated already, because the Bible tells us that. So as far as demons are concerned, we don't have to try and defeat them ourselves, because Jesus already has done that. See, when we go into even deliverance, we should go into deliverance. All right, devils, God already gave your instructions. Go in Jesus' name. You know what I'm saying? But instead we go into deliverance with, well, we've got to fight this one. Got to really battle really hard. But if we would turn and make a turn and say, no, devil, before when you're praying before deliverance, devil, you already know you have to leave. Before the person even comes, you have to leave at the name of Jesus. And just see what happens. We stand in his victory and praise him. We don't struggle against Satan's attacks, trials, and pressures in our own strength, but by faith position ourselves in Christ's victory. You know, your deliverance team, by faith, you know, the victory's already won before the person ever comes here, because God's already prepared the way, right? Through Calvary, right? Ephesians 6:12. Our fight is not against people on earth. We are fighting against the rulers and authorities and the powers of this world's darkness. We are fighting against the spiritual powers of evil in the heavenly places. Now, every time Satan was going to attack me, God would always tell me. He said, but I'm in this battle with you. I'm holding your hand. This is what he's going to do to you. This is what he can't do to you. He gave me the battle strategy right up front. And he was always with me in a battle. You're going to have to go through war. But always remember that the battle is God's and not yours. All right, point number four. Fear not, but prepare to attack the problem. 2 Chronicles 20:17 said, "Don't fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." I want to encourage each one of you. When you know you're headed for a battle, I want to encourage you to understand that God already went before you. He already has the plan already laid out, and the enemy's already defeated. I told you about the young man who's living with me. He had to go to court, and God said he's not going to go to the man's court. He's going to go to my court, and I don't want him to have any time in prison. Well, the young man, and I read that prophetic, gave it to him, read it to him. But the young man said, "Well, I can do 30 days. And he kept saying, "I can do 30 days. Guess what he got? 30 days. But God didn't want him in jail at all, but he could do 30 days. See? And God told him, in the prophetic word, he laid out exactly how it was going to work. It worked out exactly like he said, except he told the judge, "I can do 30 days. Why would you do that, you know? So he's in there for 30 days now. See, he could not believe. See, he was facing 5 years, all right? He could not believe that God could do that. So he opted to say, "Well, I'll do 30 days. Some of us do that in different areas of our life. We really do. God himself has said, "I will never leave." So we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" Hebrews 13:5. "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" That's in Hebrews 13:5-6. So we can boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" We don't believe that, though. Because we're always fearing man, right? We're all, "Oh, God, what are they going to tell me? What are they going to say to me now?" You know? The battle is the Lord's. So as we go out against the problem, he goes with us and fights for us. This gives us confidence and causes all fear to crumble. Let's read this again. The battle is the Lord's. So as we go out against a problem, whatever it is, sickness or, you know, trouble in your family, he goes with us and fights for us. How many times has God said, "I'm in this battle with you. I'm holding on to your hand," doesn't he? And fights for us. This gives us confidence and causes us all fear to crumble. Now, okay, you know, in your Left Behind movies that they have, if you watch them, you know, the Christians who are left behind, they have to run and hide and everything else, but yet they're confident. They're not afraid because they know who they serve. And they know that God is keeping them. And they also know that God knows when their time is up. And God won't let them die before their time is up. All right? 2 Chronicles 20:20 says, "Don't fear, only believe. Trust in the Lord, and you will be established. Believe in his prophets, and you will have a success or victory." All right, number five, we need to worship. 2 Chronicles 20:18-19 said, "Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem and Judah bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high." Now, worship is the attitude of complete surrender to God and his will. And evidently, everybody completely surrendered to God and his will because God spoke and he was well pleased with us, right? So worship is the attitude of complete surrender to God and his will. Now, see, I feel sorry for people in the sound booth. I feel sorry for Nancy and them because they can't get into complete worship because they have to watch me. They have to see how God's going to move through me, and then they have to do what they have to do back there. I do feel sorry for them, but you know, that's just the way it works. But the rest of you don't have no excuse. All right? So worship is the attitude of complete surrender to God and his will. These physical positions represent an attitude of heart, of offering one's body as a living sacrifice unto obedience. Romans 12:1 says, So I beg you, brothers and sisters, because of the great mercy God has shown us, offer your lives as a living sacrifice to him, an offering that is only for God and pleasing to him. Considering what he has done, it is only right that you should worship him in this way. First, submit yourself to God. Then, resist the devil, the enemy, and he will flee from you. You'll find that in James 4:7. This is important in the battle against sickness. Often those who came to Jesus for healing worshipped at his feet. Matthew 8:2. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Surrendering themselves and their bodies made them fully receptive to God's healing power, which then flowed into their flesh and made them whole. Praying in tongues is an effective way to surrender your tongue to God as an act of worship. So if you want healing, then you're going to have to tell God, I know you're the great physician, and I know you've already, one of those stripes was for my healing, and I know that you're in this battle with me, that Satan's trying to destroy my body through sickness, but I know you've already won the victory, so I receive my healing right now in the name of Jesus. Are you listening? I told my family about my heart. I said, you know what? I'm not going to no doctor. You know, if God wants me to die of the heart attack, then I'll die of the heart attack. I said, I'm believing he's healed that heart. And I believe in he's healed the other stuff in my body. And I'm not going to receive a death sentence. You know, that's just how it is. My sister went to the doctor. She had a little bit of a heart problem. She went to the doctor. Now she can't hardly breathe, move, or nothing. And the doctor said, I'm going to have to go study up and see what your problem is. You know, she was better off before she went to the hospital than what she was after she went to the hospital. She used to call me, did you go to the doctor yet? Did you go to the doctor? You got to go get your heart fixed. Now she said, don't go to the doctor. Don't go to the doctor. I said, I didn't plan on it. I'd been there a long time ago. I tell you what, the hospitals will kill you. But Jesus Christ will heal you. Because that's what he does best. Well, that's one of the things he does best. All right, now, the point number 6, attack the problem with praise. Remember, we're talking about the battle belongs to the Lord. And these are the things we have to do. Attack the problem with praise, 2 Chronicles 20:20. So they rose early in the morning, and Jehoshaphat appointed those who should sing to the Lord and praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, their positive attitude is shown in rising early. All right? The praisers, the choir, went in front of the army. This is God's strategy for victory, to attack the problem with praise. You know, and I was thinking about the praise and the flagging team. You're really our praise and worship team, because we don't have one. So however you do is what God's going to do, you know, with us. So it's on your shoulders to make sure you bring the anointing in through your praising with your flags. See, it's just not flagging. Just not, you know, practicing dancing before the Lord so that you look wonderful. You know, I'm not saying so people look at you, but so you look really wonderful and we just think, oh, isn't that beautiful? Because that's what it is. It is beautiful. But that isn't the whole thing. The whole thing is that you have to set up the atmosphere for God to move. All right? That's why I play some of the videos so you can feel the anointing come off that video. So it gets into the atmosphere so God can move. All right? When under attack, we should march forward, praising God for the victory, rather than retreating in fear and complaining about what God isn't doing. This was a march of faith. We're talking about Jehoshaphat's army. This was a march of faith. And anything you do, if you really know that the battle belongs to the Lord, everything you do is going to be a march of faith. Because you're going to have to know that you know that you know the battle really does belong to the Lord. And that as you, as he tells you what's going to go on in your life, and as you march forth in faith and allow life to happen, as the way I'll put it, God will take care of it. He reminded me this morning, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, Sister Nancy gave me the bad word. She told me my grandson was going to act up now like my granddaughter did. I said, oh, no, dear Lord. But it happened. But then God gave me instruction how I should react to the whole thing, what was going on. What happened, and now, thank God, it's over. But I had forgotten that God warned me that it was going to happen. And I had forgotten the strategy on how to walk it out. But then once I remembered it, and I told her, don't ever bring me a bad word again. Once I remembered it, then I looked up the strategy, and I knew how to walk through it. But I also knew that the battle belonged to the Lord. And there was a reason for this, and I know what it is, and it's wonderful. But see, we had to go through that battle. We had to go through it personally. But God was in it, but God was in the whole thing. It didn't look like it at times. But he was in it the whole time. And so some of the things you're going through or might go through might look like God's not in it, but he really and truly is. And there is a purpose behind everything that you go through. All right, I said this was a march of faith. Imagine what would have happened if God had not intervened. They were to demonstrate their faith by praise. You can do this at home. Rise up early and march into the day saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, I think some of you need to practice that before you even put your feet on the floor. Just lay there and look up and say, your mercy endures forever, and mean it. You know, just don't do something out of habit. Mean it. As you go forth with praise, God marches with you. Psalm 22:3 says, he is enthroned as king on the praises of his people. Because God is with you, you have nothing to fear. As you praise him, he goes before you and fights for you and gives you the breakthrough, because the battle belongs to the Lord. Psalm 68:1, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, a song. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let those also who hate him flee before him. So if you're laying in your bed in the morning and you say, you know, thank you for your mercies which endure forever, God arose, he's on alert. And he's going to be with you the rest of the day. And he's going to fight your battles for you. I know I've been practicing this, all right? Ever since I've been studying this for the last 3 weeks. As a result, the enemy will be scattered in Psalm 68:1. He flees because God comes on the scene. Now, going into battle in your way and your own strength is to say the battle belongs to me, which invites failure, because God will not fight for you when you have that attitude. Going into battle with praise is fighting under the Lord's banner, submitting to his way of warring, and trusting in him for victory. It is saying the battle belongs to the Lord. Giving the battle to God and submitting to him will bring success, because he will fight for you. Remember I told you when I was first born again, first started the church in my home, the first split, I was laying out before the Lord, crying out to God, what's going on here? And God said, you go to Isaiah 54. That's your chapter. You stand on it from now until the day I bring you home. Yeah, and one of the things it says in 54:17 is, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Now, it can come and do a little bit of damage, but it can't kill you. You understand this? The key to winning your battle is praise. Psalm 8 is about praise and its effects. Verse 1, O Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Praise is declaring the excellency of God's name or his character. Verse 2, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants you have ordained, established praise, which is strength, because of your enemies, that you might silence the enemy and the avenger. You should read Psalms chapter 8, it's good. Praise is God's ordained method to stop Satan's work in every Christian's life that even a spiritual baby can use. And as you read the Old Testament, they always went out with praise. There was always an army praisers that went before the army. Always praise. So there has to be something into this praise thing. If we could just get it, I'm just hearing God saying Satan's distorted praise in the house of God. And that's why there's no more victories in the house. I'm hearing him say it's show and tell time in the house of God when praise comes. That's a shame. All right, how do you silence mental torment? By praise. It's the way out of depression and bondage. First, praise strengthens us, for by it we enter God's presence where there is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. As we praise God, His anointing is released in us. As we praise God, His anointing is released in us. And you can, at home, you can read Psalm 100, verse 4, and Psalm 16, verse 11, and Nehemiah 8, 10. All right? That was Psalm 104, Psalm 16, 11, and Nehemiah 8, 10. Second, it silences the enemy and destroys his work. This is God's ordained method to do this. It silences the enemy and destroys his work. I always know when something's going to happen because God will have me start singing in the spirit at home. So, I'm anointed to sing in the spirit, and all of a sudden it lifts, and then the thing hits. But you know what? It didn't hit as hard as it would have if I wouldn't have been singing in the spirit, praising the Father. Now, see, a lot of people could just talk in tongues just constantly and rant. I can't. So it always is an anointing when you hear me speaking in tongues. I can't otherwise. And I don't know why that is, but I just can't. And I think it's wonderful that you can speak in tongues continually, because tongues is where the strength is at. All right. God silences. God silences Satan in our life as we lift up the name of Jesus and declare God's word, His written judgments on Satan. In Psalm 149, 6 through 9 says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, which is the word, to execute vengeance on Satan, to bind their kings, demons with chains, and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written in the word. This honor have all the saints. Praise ye the Lord. And that's what praise will do. Execute vengeance on Satan. Bind their kings or demons with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written in the word. That's what praise will do. But this is why marriages fall apart. When you see a fight flaring up, instead of walking away from it, going somewhere and praising God until you feel the victory in the atmosphere, you stand there and act like a fool. Yell and scream, rant, rave, or do something dumb. But if you just walk away and go praise, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. Why do you always have to be right? Why can't you just walk away? Why does your lips always have to flap? You know, why can't you just be quiet? If you want to say something, praise. As we magnify the Lord, not only does the problem get smaller in our mind, as the Lord gets bigger, as we magnify the Lord, but not only does the problem get smaller in our mind, as the Lord gets bigger, but also the demonic powers behind it are confused and their power broken. Christ's victory and judgments upon Satan, number one, was accomplished on the cross. Number two, was written in His word. And number three, is now in the name of Jesus. When we lift up the name of praise, in praise, using the sword of the word to declare Christ's victory and Satan's defeat, then these written judgments are executed on Satan and he is bound. If the body of Christ would quit your complaining and just praise, a whole lot of it would happen in the body of Christ. You would see miracles like you've never seen them before. Just because darkness has come does not mean we have to cohabit with it. Doesn't mean that we have to enter into it. It means our light should so shine that it'll dispel all darkness. And see, this is a problem. Darkness, gross darkness has come, and the church has entered into the gross darkness instead of letting their light shine and breaking it up. They've entered into it, and they become part of the darkness. Instead of praising God because of the darkness, they just said, well, might as well just join the club and entered into it. And now the church is defeated. And I'm hearing God say, on all sides, because we lack true praise. See, if you learn to praise at home, it won't be hard to praise in the church. You know, because your whole countenance will be praise. Are you understanding this? And see, that's what a lot of... Well, okay, in the march, I was watching you girls doing the Mexican dance or whatever that was, Spanish dance or whatever. But yet I said, okay, God, they're doing all that there, but they don't do anything in the house of God. And what's the difference here? You know, I don't understand that. If you can do that out there, why can't you do it in here? I don't mean the Spanish dance, but I mean, why can't you dance before the Lord? They weren't the only ones I saw dancing out of you group. Some of you others were too. But I don't see your feet flying around in here. Come on. That was a Christian function. This is a Christian function. So what's the difference? Because when you're in the house of God, the enemy does not want you to praise. He doesn't care what you do out there in the world. Even if it's a Christian function, he doesn't care what you do out there. But he doesn't want you to get free in the house. Because if you get free in the house, you're going to tear the walls of hell down. Amen. All right. I think I'm at when problems, that way, yeah. When problems or Satan or trials come and speak to you saying you are a defeated failure. How many of you have heard that? You might as well give up. How many of you heard that? You are not strong enough to win. Then we answer, yes, you know, that might look like that's the way it is, but I'm not alone. The battle is not mine. The battle belongs to the Lord. He has already overcome you, and I will praise him. And his victory will soon be manifested in me, for his faithful love to me endures forever. I might be an alcoholic, but I'm free in the name of Jesus. It is soon going to be manifested. You know, this, I'm just giving you an example. God's way to victory is to go out against a problem with praise. And this has been our problem all along. You know, and mine too. I haven't gone out with praise on my lips against my problems. Have you? You know, I know I should, but God's just reawakened that thing, and he's just reinforcing that thing. Now you've got to get back to praise. Joseph had appointed men to sing to the Lord and praise the beauty of holiness, and they went out before the army saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." This is a chorus of Psalm 136, 16 to 26 that they sang and has the rhythm of a marching song with the leader singing the verse and the rest responding with chorus. So I thought we'd do something here this morning. You're the leaders. The middle people are the leaders, all right? And the ones on the right or the left, you're the chorus. Is that what I said? Yeah. All right, so the leaders will say, you'll say, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." That's what I want you all to say. Oh, give thanks. The highlighted, I want you to say that. Say it. No, you got it wrong. They're the leaders. You sing the chorus. Come on now. All right, let's try this again. Leaders. Now, chorus. Leaders. No, I'm sorry. They were supposed to say that. I didn't highlight that. So you say, "For his mercy endures forever." Okay, now leaders. Chorus. Leaders. See, that's a song they sang. They were given thanks for everything he did. And that's the way we need to do. Oh, God, that husband's a mess. But your mercy endures forever. Amen. My children are a mess, but your mercy endures forever. You see what you're supposed to be doing? Every time you have a problem, then you say, but your mercy endures forever. All right. See, I was going to read that scripture. I thought, I'll lose them, so I'll just let them do it. Wasn't that neat? See, you got right with it. All right. The theme of God's mercy, a word that means covenant, faithfulness, and loving kindness that he shows to his people despite their failings and weaknesses. That's what we just sang. Each verse gives an example of his mercy, which is faithfulness to Israel from creation, from redemption, from slavery in Egypt, and from the victories he gave them in possessing the promised land. They were telling the Father what he had done already for them. And they're saying, because everything you did, your mercy endures forever, because you keep doing for us, no matter how bad we are. Amen. The verse gives thanks for this mercy, and then comes the chorus. For his mercy, faithfulness endures forever, which praises God for his unchanging, faithful character. And he's unchanging. We change, but God does not change. He is an unchangeable God. And if he's blessed you once, he's going to bless you 10 million times. He isn't going to stop blessing you. All right, this psalm is an example for us. We can march round our room proclaiming his mercy endures forever. So if you're having a money problem, Father God, you said my finances are straightened out and your mercy endures forever. Instead of saying, oh God, where is this money going to come from? Oh God, look at all my bills. You know, whatever you're saying. Thank you, God, for the monies that are coming in. Your mercy endures forever. You got me out of debt once. You can get me out of debt again because your mercy endures forever. All right. You healed me once, Lord. You can heal me again, for your mercy endures forever. He's just not a one-time God. He just keeps going and going and going. Give thanks for each of the blessings and provisions of God's wonderful creation, followed each time by the chorus, for his mercy endures forever. I just thank you, God, that I'm my age and have two young kids that won't sleep at night. But your mercy endures forever. I have done that too. You must have seen something in me that you knew I could do this, and your mercy endures forever. Come on. Then give thanks for your redemption by the blood of Jesus and deliverance from the power of sin and Satan, Egypt and Pharaoh through the new birth. Then give thanks for the victories in your Christian life, for guidance in the wilderness of hard times. This is what you're supposed to be giving him thanks for. For breakthroughs and deliverances as God helped you to overcome the enemy and possess more of your promised land, which is God's promises. For promotions and God lifting us up into a higher life. 4, for answers to prayer, for basic needs, for finance and healing, food for the flesh. And 5, for God's empowering you to minister to others so that through you Satan's power over them was broken. For his mercies endure forever. Get up in the morning, I said, oh, I've got 3 deliverances to do today. But your mercy endures forever. The devil's going to be here in all of his glory, but your mercy endures forever. Amen? Come on. Oh, God, give me strength. See, that's not saying, but your mercy endures forever. It isn't. Amen? If he called you to do it, then he equipped you to do it. You have to do it with a joyful heart. It is so important to remember what God has done for us. Our faith that God will bring us through the present battle can only be as strong as our confidence in his faithfulness. What God did for us in the past is evidence of his faithful and loving character. Giving thanks for what God has done is a launching pad for praising his faithfulness. Giving thanks for what God has done already. I give you thanks for freeing my son, for your faithfulness endures forever. His faithful love is shown by all he has done in the past. And the fact that it endures forever means he hasn't changed. And he will also bring me through the present problem as I trust him. The same God who brought Israel through the Red Sea, who delivered the three boys from the fiery furnace, who raised Jesus up from the grave, is with me now and will deliver me in this trial. God said to me one time a couple years ago, he said, daughter, as I was for Moses, I will be for you. You know, God has promised me many blessings, so I keep that in mind. And I tell him, now since I've been studying this, for your mercy endures forever. So even though I was sort of dumb and forgot that you was going to be with me as you was for Moses, you know, your mercy, I repent for forgetting, but your mercy endures forever. See that? There isn't one of us in this room that has not forgotten what God has told you he's going to do for you. And then when the battle strikes, you get all dumbfounded until finally, you know, your mind, you know, something in your mind clicks. You say, oh, that's right. God told me this is coming, and your mercy endures forever, right? I was thinking about Brother Brett, that he's going through something right now, and he doesn't know what it is, neither do I, but I wish he'd get through it. Now, God told you a while back you were going to go through this troubling time. He told you that. I remember that. He brought that back to my remembrance. So his mercy endures forever. He brought you through the other things. He'll bring you through this thing. You see what I'm saying? And you just need to say, thank you, Father God, for what you did in the past. And your mercy endures forever. So you're with me. This is your battle. It's not my battle, it's yours, and you're with me in this thing, for your mercy endures forever. See how we're supposed to do this thing? But we forget that, don't we? We forget what he did in the past, and that's one thing we should never do. If God did so much for us in the past, will he not help us now and give us the victory? God gives us the victory in this situation, too, for his mercy endures forever. All right, some of you are sitting here and say, well, my past was a mess. Well, that's because you didn't know what God could do for you. So you fumbled through it with your own strength. But now you know you don't do that anymore, and that God is fighting the battle for you, and you go before him with praise and let him go ahead and straighten the situations out. So as they marched out thanking God for all his past demonstrations of mercy, they were also declaring their faith that he had not changed and would give them victory that day also. They were proclaiming that the power of their faithful God was present with them to give them success. Can you do that this morning? Can you thank God for what he's done in your past? And can you believe that he's going to be with you today? Some of your marriages are still messed up because you still haven't learned to thank God for that woman you gave me. You know, it wasn't the Bible said, well, that woman you gave me. You know, come on. We need to start praising God. You had a part to play in it, too. You were really happy to go into that mess. You didn't know it was going to be a mess when you went. Was happy to go into it, right? But you went into it, so now you're into it. Now let's work it out. Let's thank God that he's in that with us. It's really not a mess, but that's what you think in your mind. Just thank God that he's in there with you, for his mercy endures forever. Amen. And you people who are not married, quit wanting to get married. Because you don't know how happy you are being single. You don't know how happy you are because you're too busy wanting to get married. You aren't enjoying your single life. Because once you're married, your life changes. Ask Brother Larry. You know, once you get married, your life changes. Then you'll think, boy, God, your mercy endures forever. Amen? Come on. We also proclaim thanks be to God who gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. You find that in 1 Corinthians 15:57, Romans 8:37, and 2 Corinthians 2:14. As we give thanks for past blessings and praise his unchanging power and loving faithfulness, our faith grows stronger that he will give us a victory in the present conflict. Israel's faith in God to give them the victory was based on his faithfulness, which he'd proved to them again and again. And this is what they brought it to you, and this is what you did in the past. We also know God's love and faithfulness from creation, from our salvation, from the stories in the Bible, from testimonies of Christians, and from the times God has intervened in our lives. As we remember and thank him for the victories and blessings of the past and praise his greatness, our faith is built. And the problem seems small compared to the God who is with us. I believe what you have to do, some of you have to do, is go back and look at your past. You know, God, you know, we always say don't do that. But I think you're so dumb right now. You have to go back and look at your past and see how God really did. If he wasn't with you, you'd be dead. I mean, you know, a lot of us can say that. So you really, you have to go back in your past and say, okay, God, you were faithful that time. All right, you were faithful that time. Okay, you was faithful that time, you know. And then you'll know he's faithful this time too. God's instructions for our spiritual battles is for us to praise. For as we honor the Lord and build up our faith in him, the atmosphere is set for God to move in power. As we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we will not fear, for he's with us to fight for us and defeat our enemies. And that's in Psalm 23. The battle is not ours, but the Lord's, if we march under his banner of praise. Now, I thought about the flags again. They're banners you're waving over us, right? The inevitable result of obedience is victory. God's ways may not make sense to us, and they never do, to me anyhow. We may ask, how will praising God at the start of the day help my problem? You say, I don't have time. I must worry more. I must do something. Right? But as we obey and praise, God fights for us in an invisible spirit realm, and our eyes will soon see the victory. If we praise him, then God will release his power for us and confuse or scatter and destroy any opposing forces. The fruits of victory. Number one, the spoil speaks of abundant life in verse 25. And number two, a new spirit of gratitude. Number three, joy. The Lord made them rejoice over their enemies. And number four, peace and rest on every side. Just kill them, Lord. Get it over with like you did for Jehoshaphat, right? Well, when you win a battle decisively, you're less of a target. See, if you just realize that his mercy endures forever and you keep start praising him, the enemy is going to leave you alone because he can't stand praise. It just drives him to distraction. And so instead of you fussing and moaning and groaning, you're praising God, the enemy's going to start backing off from you. I don't want to go in that hole, you know, in that house with them, because they're a praising bunch of fools. And I can't deal with that. And he's going to go find a house that doesn't know how to praise. That's true. That's really true. All right, the fear of God. All right, so I said, when you win a battle decisively, you're less of a bet target. The fear of God comes upon your enemy because God fought for you. He will think twice before attacking again. That was in verse 29 and 30. The rod of Moses in Exodus 17, 8 through 16 also gives us an object lesson in spiritual warfare. I think this is nice because I've heard God say, I've given you my rod. All right. All right. Victory in spiritual battles comes as we rely upon the Lord to fight on our behalf. While Joshua fought the enemy, Moses lifted up the rod, which represents the name or authority of God. Lifting up the rod was exalting God and praising the name of the Lord, putting the battle under God's authority. So the raised rod signified they were trusting the Lord, acknowledging that the battle was his, that they were looking to him for victory, and the result of doing this was always success. The rod acted as a power conductor. When pointed to heaven, God's anointing was released into his people, and power was released against the enemy. When the rod came down, the results was failure, for they were then fighting their own battle, depending on their mere natural strength. So as we lift up the name of Jesus in praise, we will see success in battle. So I forgot to look it up, but I said to Larry last night, it wasn't that Moses, as long as they held up his arms, they won the battle. We couldn't remember who it was. I was going to look it up, and I forgot. But Aaron and who? But then whenever they didn't hold his arms up, they was losing the battle. So they always had to keep raising, holding his arms up. All right. So it's been weighing heavy upon my heart that we don't raise our hands enough during praise and worship. We sat there. What a mighty God I serve. And we need to start doing this. We need to start waving the banner. Amen. I thought we used to do that. Our hands were always up in the air. But we don't do that anymore. We need to start doing that. I was told early on that when you don't lift your hands up, you have them down, then what you're doing is you're praising the devil. So when you have your hands up, you're really praising the Father. All right? God showed that this battle revealed an eternal principle of victory to be always remembered by revealing one of his names, Jehovah Nissa. The Lord is our banner, using it to name the place. As you raise your hand, you're saying that he is your banner. Banners are held up by armies marching into battle, showing in whose name they were fighting and whose power they were trusting in for victory. So this name also means the Lord is our victory. When they fought under the Lord's banner, they had victory. So with the ladies are flagging their flags, that's our banner, right? And we're getting the victory. If we lift up his name, his power and authority in praise, declaring our faith in him, saying the battle and victory belong to the Lord, then he manifests himself to us as our banner, covering us with his victory and protection and giving us victory. The Lord is saying, if you trust in me and acknowledge me as your banner and victory, that the battle belongs to me, then I will manifest my victory to you. And he was excited with us this morning. He really appreciated us, our praise. Now, if we fly the banner of praise, then the Lord will manifest himself as our victory. Joshua and Jericho also reveals the principle of the battle belongs to the Lord. Jericho stood in the way of their entry into the promised land. In Joshua 5:13 and 6:5, the Lord gave Joshua the battle plan. After marching around it for a week, in faith, they were to blow the trumpets and give shouts of praise and victory. Shout, for the Lord has given you the victory. Then Joshua 6:16, and the seventh time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Then in Joshua 6:20, so the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both men and women, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. So when you come against a walled city opposing your progress, then attack it with shouts of praise and see the walls fall down. And you know, as I was reading that, God said, Elaine's shofar is her rod. So I believe that God has given you ladies, a flag. The flag is your rod. You know, whatever God has given you, and you know, every time I look back, Sister Julie always has her, both arms up in the air, and I think, thank God, somebody back there is lifting up the banner, you know. So, guys, remember the battle belongs to the Lord. And as we learn to praise him, we richly praised him this morning. God is going to come in and he's going to intervene and he's going to fight our battles for us. You're going to, you know, we really don't have time to fight battles because we have a world of lost souls out there that need to be saved. And so as we learn to praise him and say, okay, God, your mercy endures forever. This is your battle today. I have to be either in my word, I have to be on my knees, or I have to be out there pounding the streets, spreading the gospel. So you have to fight my battle for me. The bill collector is knocking at my door. God, you're going to fight this battle. You're going to pay that bill. Supernaturally pay that bill. How many times have you read where God has supernaturally paid bills, paid off houses, bought people cars? So why can't... See, we don't believe that we don't trust in that. So we're just constantly, oh, God, how am I going to pay these bills? Oh, Lord, you know, I just... My car's breaking down, you know, instead of your mercy endures forever. You gave me a new car then, you can give me a new car now. You know, you kept my bills paid then, you can keep my bills paid. You know what I'm saying? But we don't do that. We moan and we groan and we fuss and complain and we don't praise enough. We're going to praise from now on, right? We're going to learn to praise and say, your mercy endures forever. If we have to say that verse every time we come in here, the leaders in the course, we'll do that until it gets down in your spirit. Father God, I thank you and I praise you for this teaching. I thank you, Father God, that they sat patiently listening to your word. And now, Father God, they need a special blessing. And I'm asking you, Father God, right now to drop your dew on them. Let them feel your awesome presence, Father. Let them know that you're in control and you, the battle is truly yours. And Father, I just thank you and I just praise you right now. I give you honor and I give you glory. All right, what God wants to do here is he wants you to line up in the altar area. And Sister Elaine's going to blow the shofar over you again tonight, this morning. And what that's going to do, that's going to defeat every enemy in your life. He's freeing you up so you don't have to fight battles. That you're going to know that the battle belongs to the Lord. and you're going to be freed up to go forth and do the works that he's called you forth to do. And Father, I thank you and I praise you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, don't go down. When you get lined up, Sister Elaine's going to blow the shofar over y'all. And just keep standing, please, so the shofar knocks you down. Because it really will. It'll just knock you right down. And God's saying, there is no weapon, no weapon whatsoever that's formed against you will ever prosper from this day forth if you learn to praise him. He said, this is an act of obedience this morning. This is an act of obedience now. Are we all lined up over there? We're going to blow the shofar again for you guys.